Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to another edition of the Locked On Wizards podcast. Ben Standing here. Another rainy day in the D.C. area. It was pouring at times, but fortunately it was not raining earlier today when I was actually outside. But now I'm back inside getting ready to put this podcast up. The latest Locked On Wizards podcast, I think, is a pretty good one. Going sort of outside the, well, not sort of, but a little bit outside the Wizards world. Got a chance today to talk to former NBA All-Star Kenny Anderson. If you're wondering why? One, Kenny Anderson was a hell of a player in his day in the NBA, played for a bunch of teams, most notably, I guess you would say, the Nets, but also a huge star on the high school and college basketball scene, was a huge piece in Georgia Tech's Final Four team with Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver, coached by Bobby Kremins. I think they lost to the UNLV team that eventually won the title that year. I think that was the year. In any event, Kenny Anderson, there's a documentary out about his life, his struggles, essentially post-career, and a really interesting discussion about that. I have not had a chance to see the documentary. It's only playing in limited cities. Kenny talks about the fact that he's hoping to get it distributed nationwide. But the opportunity to talk to him was interesting. We also did talk about John Wall, point guard to point guard. And so I think you guys really like the conversation. Kenny was pretty candid about his life. And also, I have a little bit of a connection with him. He didn't know that, but somebody that I knew from growing up was on his high school team, and that's how I got to know about Kenny Anderson growing up. So that's what we've got on tap for you today. If you've missed it already this week, we've had up a few other podcasts, including Player Review of Otto Porter. I was there on Tuesday for Melo Trimble's workout at the Wizards. Played audio from that from Trimble. Shared some thoughts for you there. Also talked a little bit about the NBA draft and more about what the Wizards could potentially do with that 52nd overall pick. So a lot going on already, and more podcasts coming up this week. Don't fret about that. And again, the Wizards are going to be off with the draft workouts until Monday, so we'll get back on that train next week. But all right, and before we get into the interview, a quick word here from our sponsor, SeatGeek. You've heard me talk about them already. SeatGeek is helping change the way that we all buy tickets to sporting events and concerts. They've come along and created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. I've got the SeatGeek app on my phone. I need to go to more concerts in my life, to be honest with you. This summer I've got U2 coming up. I need to figure out some more things. By the way, if you've got any suggestions on that, hit me up on Twitter at Ben Standig. I'm down for that. Maybe we should have a Locked On Wizards concert event. All right. I don't know, maybe we shouldn't. I don't know. But in any event, when I do think about the concerts, I'm definitely going to check out the SeatGeek app on my phone. It does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. SeatGeek also wants to give you the most bang for your buck, and that's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. So as a reminder, you, my listeners get $20 a rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. Here's what you got to do. Download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, and click add a promo code. That promo code, LO Wizards, as in Locked On Wizards, but LO Wizards. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LO Wizards today. All right, and without further delay, let's get right into Kenny Anderson. You know, look, at the end of the day, his NBA career, he played a while, he made good money, he had a lot of success. It maybe, it ultimately probably didn't go, well, not probably, it definitely didn't go ultimately the way that I think a lot of people envisioned that it would. He was such a dynamic player, both in high school and college. I talked about this with him, but best high school player I ever saw play live. You know, I'm not old enough to have seen Lou Alcindor, and you know, I didn't see LeBron in person at high school and things like Kobe Bryant, but Kenny Anderson was ridiculous, just a tremendous player. But you know what he talks about with me, and what the point of the documentary is about, is essentially kind of losing, how he essentially lost his way to some degree as an adult, how things went wrong, and how he's trying to now help the next generation avoid some of the mistakes. We talked about that, his career, his high school days, John Wall, and more. So let's get right into it. Here is my one-on-one with Mr. Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, hello?
Hey, Kenny, it's Ben Standing again. Is this a good time?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Awesome, man. I really appreciate it. We'll just jump in. All right, and we are very thankful right now to welcome to the podcast Mr. Kenny Anderson. You know him, former NBA All-Star, Final Four hero with Georgia Tech, and he's now also the subject of a new documentary chronicling his life as a pro athlete called Mr. Chibs. We're going to get into that and talk a little bit about his thoughts on John Wall and some other things. But first, Kenny, I really appreciate your time, man. Thanks so much.
Oh, man, thanks for having me on, Ben.
Yeah. So, look, Kenny, let me just back up here just for a second, just to let you know where I came into your, where you came into my world, I guess. I had a, my grandparents and my aunt and uncle lived in Sunnyside, Queens, and in their apartment building was this family with a lot of tall kids. And I knew this one kid from my time I was like 5 or 6 years old. And every time we'd go up there, he'd get a little bit bigger and a little bit bigger. But I don't just mean like a little bit tall. Like he would get to 5'10", then 6'1", then 6'4", then 6'7". And all of a sudden he gets up to 6'11", and he starts becoming a big time high school basketball player for Archbishop Molloy. My friend is Robert Dan, and he,
that was my guy.
Yeah. And so Archbishop Molloy,
comes that was in. My guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was my big man.
Absolutely. So Archbishop Molloy comes down to DC to play DeMatha, or to play in a tournament which DeMatha was in, and you both made the finals. And you know, I this is way pre-internet, so it's not like I had too much access to information. But as I get the program for the game, I look at the roster and I see this kid named Kenny Anderson on his team, and I remember that Sports Illustrated, just not too long prior, I don't think, had done a spread where they showed a picture of who they thought was the best high school player at each age. For example, the 12th grader was this kid Marcus Liberty, who went and had a pretty good career at Illinois. The 11th grader was Alonzo Mourning. He obviously went to Georgetown and, you know, Hall of Fame career. The 10th grader was Kenny Anderson. So I'm like, all right, well, let's see what this is all about. And holy crap, I mean, you absolutely just blew my mind. I mean, I don't see tons of high school basketball, but best high school player I'd ever seen. And then obviously you went from there. You went to Georgia Tech, went to the Final Four with that Lethal Weapon 3 team. You become the number 2 pick in the NBA draft, become an All-Star, have a long career. And it all seems like it's, you know, an unbelievable career. And that's kind of where you kind of talk about how things changed for you as you got a little bit older. But what was that experience like, I guess? I mean, I don't know how you can talk about this in quick term, but to go from this high school phenom, some people thought you were the best high school player ever in New York, which is a statement, to go from that and then having at such a young age, having to navigate through those fields of college basketball, the draft, and going pro.
It was a blur, but now when I retire and I sit back and I look at all my early accomplishments in high school, it's amazing, man, that, you know, what I did. And which is so great for me, is my high school jersey is in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and it's right next to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So that's definitely a blessing and definitely something big that I always will, you know, cherish. Me, you know, I had some great mentor. I had a great mentor in Vincent Smith, who really guided me in the right direction. Jack Curran, you know, legendary high school coach at Malloy. I just, you know, pre social media and all this technology, it wasn't much when I was, we didn't have none of this. So I was in a lot of magazines and there was coverage. My coverage was really huge in the New York area. And, you know, I was always in Street and Smith magazines and Sports Illustrator. It just got a lot of attention, man. And lucky for me, I had a great supporting cast around me who really guided me in the right direction.
Jack Curran was the head coach at Archbishop Malloy. You said Vincent Smith, that's Kenny Smith's brother, correct?
Yes, that is. He mentored me. And he mentored his brother, and his brother was someone I looked up to because it's someone I could touch. We from the same neighborhood. We like family. He was everything I wanted to be and more, and I wanted to accomplish what he did and be better at it. He went to Malloy. I went to Malloy. He went to UNC. I didn't go to UNC, but I went to ACC land, Georgia Tech. And he was just a great guy to look up to.
Just to go back to sort of circle back to that high school game that I mentioned, when you played against DeMatha, that was with Morgan Wooten as the coach.
Yeah, they cheated, man. John Gwynn and Mustaf, they cheated. We lost by one on a buzzer. You know, that was home cooking, my guy. You remember that? We lost by one, but it was a great game, though.
Yeah, well, and I remember because obviously, you know, I think DeMatha really became a big on the national stage when Lou Alcindor, then, you know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, then Lou Alcindor at High School Power Memorial, they never lost, mm-hmm. but then they went up against DeMatha, and DeMatha cooked up a scheme and won. And so I think that kind of, like, yeah. some level put DeMatha on the national map. When you went to play that, did that resonate with you that, hey, this isn't just a good team, but this is that same coach, that same program that beat Kareem, you know, Lou Alcindor, and you're sort of in that category with him as a high school player?
No, I didn't look at it like that. That was way before me, but there was two powerhouse high schools. My, you know, Archbishop Malloy and DeMatha was going head up. And I was like the number one recruit, and I always got up for games outside the city, you know, in another city, in another state, because they didn't get to see Kenny Anderson a lot. So I was just, you know, really excited to go and play in Virginia and Maryland. We played Archbishop Carroll also that weekend, and then we played DeMatha. So I was just looking forward to playing DeMatha High School.
Absolutely. Now, yeah, and I remember Bobby Kremins. You guys played 2 years in a row here, right? Or was it?
I'm not sure. I don't remember. I think 1 year.
Was it just
I think we
like
played 1 year when we played Archbishop Carroll. And then we played the math, but maybe twice. I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, I remember Bobby Kremins was there at least the one time I was there. And obviously that's where you ended up. I have to ask, as somebody who grew up paying attention to Georgetown and now covers Georgetown, the rumor has always been that you wanted to go to Georgetown, but for whatever the reason, Big John Thompson didn't pursue you that heavily. Any truth to that?
Yeah, that they could have eased in there. I really liked the program, Georgetown, but the Olympics was going on. He didn't really want to recruit me, so he sent his assistant, Extrich. I forgot his name, Extrich.
Yeah, Craig Extrich.
His assistant. Yeah, I wasn't too fond of that because I wanted to meet, you know, the coach, the head coach. My mother wanted to meet him also and sit down and see what type of plan, you know, they had for me. But he wasn't interested in me. He didn't recruit me hard. So it all worked out for everybody.
Ugh, well, not for the Georgetown fans, but okay. Anyway, so then you get, like I said, you go to Georgia Tech. You're there 2 years. You guys you make it all the way to the Final Four with you, Dennis Scott, Brian Oliver, the Lethal Weapon 3 team, one of the most fun teams. I mean, not to discredit your other teammates, but it truly was something to the akin of a three-man team. I'm blanking on the name. You had a big man that wasn't bad, but for the most part, it was you three guys scoring like all the points, and that was a lot of fun. And then you get all the way to the NBA. You're the second pick. You go to the Nets, and you make an all-star team in what, your second season?
Second, third, I think a third, I'm not sure.
Right, and you're
I'm not sure, I don't remember, 94, 90, yeah.
Right, but you're a starter in the All-Star game, and like other guards in the game,
yeah.
John Stockton, Gary Payton, Mark Price, you know, all so many great players, and you're at that point. And I guess this is sort of maybe where the some soon after this is, I guess, sort of the point of your of the documentary that you know, I definitely would recommend people to see if they can. And I'll ask you where they can see that in a second. But I guess sort of walk everybody through the basic point is that you, I'm looking at the New York Times review of it, and basically they describe it as it's the Mr. Chibs, which is the nickname your mom gave you, chronicles a pro athlete in midlife crisis. You yeah. talked about your being a father, been married, bankruptcy, some other aspects, and they quote you in here saying, "I'm a walking mistake." What when they came to you to do this documentary about your life, to talk about what you view as, you know, the ups and the downs, why did you want to do mm-hmm. What was your hope in doing this documentary?
You know, basically it was a documentary phase. And now you got to remember that, you know, Jill Campbell, my director, who did a hell of a job with the storyline, and Barry Greenstein, who invested his money into my story. It was 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, that she shadowed me. So a lot of this stuff happened, and we just brought it out. You know, I wasn't sure. Everybody was telling me, "Hey, man, you Kenny Anderson, you got a great story to tell." I really, really wasn't sure. If my mother was still living, I don't know if I would have brought it out and done a documentary on me. Because, you know, if I wanted to do it, I wanted to be truthful to myself and true to all my fans and my supporters, and wanted to tell a story to help others. A lot of us, everybody has a story, but some of us is ashamed, embarrassed to tell our story. But I wanted to just help others, help the youth that might be going through certain things that I've been through in my life. Being that I was an ex-NBA player, having that platform, I thought it would be awesome for me to do. And that's basically the real of it, being a child prodigy, coming from New York City and, you know, dysfunctional home, alcoholics, drug addicts, being molested, being abused. I just thought it was after the news and reading all this stuff of what's going on in the world, I said, I just can't hold on to this. You know, I have to help. I have to help somebody. And went back and forth with it. You know, should I do this? I just said, you know what? I'm just going to let it loose. And since then, I just feel a little better. And it's therapy for me also. And it's helped a bunch of people right now.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that it's been therapeutic for you. I know there's from different articles I've read, there's lots of different angles to go at. But one I'm curious at, yeah. I'm talking to you right now from the Verizon Center where the Wizards practice. And, yeah. and today they're going to bring in some recruits. Some draft prospects with the draft coming yeah. up in a couple of weeks. And they're going to have some guys here for workouts, including a guy like Melo Trimble from Maryland and some other guys. And I'm just sort of curious if you had the chance to talk to these kids about going into the league based on your experiences in the document. What would be the sort of the one point or maybe one story from your life that you would want to sort of talk to them about?
I would love to do that. That's what I'm building myself up to do. Something more like a life coach. And I would just tell those kids just to, you know, number one, just stay humble. Number two, don't never forget where you came from, and work extremely hard on your craft and your job, and don't let your lifestyle get the best of you. Remember, you're in the NBA because you can play basketball, and that means you have to take care of yourself. A lot of these young superstars and everybody, they're doing it right, man. They're doing it the right way. And Allah, you know, I give a lot of love and respect to John Wall. You know, he's about his craft. Seems like he's getting better and better each year. He had a great year this year. Too bad they fell short, you know, against the Celtics. But you know, take nothing away from him. He's already there. Probably the top. I have to say, he's the top five point guards in the league. You know, just to work hard, man, on at your craft, and take care of yourself mentally and physically.
Obviously, by the time you get to the league, you're obviously an NBA player and you can compete with these guys. At what point, though, in your life did you think, did you know that you actually could do that? Because it's always one thing for all these kids to think, hey, I can do it. But a lot of times that notion is not realistic. And even some guys who get drafted, they come to learn they're really just not that good. When did you know at your point in your life that, you know what, this is legit, I actually can do this? And how did that realization impact your thinking as you went along?
1985 city championship. I'm a freshman Archbishop Malloy High School going up against Tylertown High School. I never played the first quarter. I played, I scored, I remember like it was yesterday, 23 points, 7 or 8 assists. And overtime, I scored 6 points. We won the game. MVP as a freshman changed my whole life. That's when I knew. 1985, I knew about 15 years old, I knew I could play the game of basketball. It wasn't is he going to make the NBA? It was just, when is he going to make the NBA? You know, I was destined. And that's what I talk about on my documentary. Basketball has always been easy. Life has been hard. You know, other things I've been dealing with. I just knew I was going to be a player in the NBA. That's just how talented I was. If you keep working hard, there will be no, you know, stopping me. You know what I mean? And so that's the year and everything that, you know, just my life changed. And I just got so many letters. I could have went to, you know, my high school coach, Jack Curran, used to keep all my letters in his closet. He never gave me my letters until I was a junior. So it was like 2 box full of all my college letters, man. And when he showed me, I just started laughing. And I think Newsday, the pictures is out. Newsday did a big article on me. They came into the school and took all pictures of all my letters and me with the letter. It was pretty cool. So that's when I knew I was going to be a player, man, my freshman year in high school.
How does that, I mean, I've been around athletes now for a long time, and, you know, I ask them some questions like this, but how does that, as a human being, screw with your brain? Because most of us are not, in terms of a professional standpoint, you know, you may be given some accolades and your boss will pat you on the back or whatever, but none of us receive the outpouring of support the way an athlete does, not just from fans, but all the people who wanting to get a piece of you or legitimately do have your best interest in heart, but still are telling you how good you are. What did that, when you say that as a freshman, that's when you knew, do you recall any time a specific change in you, something that all of a sudden became different because of all the sort of attention and accolades or whatever that was coming your way?
Kenny, Mr. Chibbs, I say, because that's what it's about. It's two people here, Mr. Chibbs and Kenny Anderson. I never change, and I will never change for anyone. And I've been this person since day one, and probably that's usually a problem, you know, when you get up somewhere high. Some people like you to change, you know, who you are, and I just won't do that. And loyal to maybe a fault, some of my friends and families and certain things I want to do. I'm real passionate about the youth, the kids, giving back, and living the life that I feel and gets my values from my mother. And I live, if I'm not doing nothing wrong, I'm going to continue to be me. And that's just who I'm at. You know, I've been that way. I gave back, I helped others, and I feel if we all do that, we give, we are going to be blessed. Might not be monetary money, but we are going to get blessings. And it might not come when you want it to come, but some form or fashion, somebody in your family is going to get blessed because of you. Some of your mother, your father, whoever, and that's just me. I'm not going to change who I am because I know where my heart is at. And just that's just who I am. I just never changed. And you could ask, well, people that's close to me know that, you know, if anything I've had a big heart and gave too much of myself and my time, but that's okay because all that stuff I will receive back. I will get all my, and he's blessing me now, you know, throughout my journey. You know, God is not finished with me. You know, he's blessed me from the youngster. He's not finished with me. He got other plans for me. And it might not be basketball. It's about helping others and about giving back. And I have to deal with that. And I tell all my teams I coach, South Florida Elite, my travel team, that this is about y'all, man. It's not about me. I've done that. I'm trying to help y'all get to any point of your life where you can get a scholarship, free education to play on a Division I, Division II, Division III, whatever, and be coachable on life. And go on, succeed, even if it ain't basketball. Get a good job, you know, have a good family, do things the right way, and be a good person, good citizen. And that's my whole goal on what I'm doing in my life. So I will never change, and I will just be the same person because I know where my heart is at.
Kenny, that's a great message. I appreciate you sharing that with us. We're of course here talk on the Locked On Wizards podcast, talking with Kenny Anderson. You can follow him on Twitter @Chibbs @CHIBBS_1. on Twitter. Before I get you out of here, I got to ask you one John Wall question. You mentioned him before. You were, you know, as quick as they come in your day, but some people say John Wall is probably maybe the fastest guy in the league now with the ball in his hand. Is he, I don't know, where does he rank among the fastest guys you've ever seen? Does he compare to anybody from your era?
I don't remember nobody. He's probably him and Russell Westbrook is the fastest guys with the ball. And they're both very explosive. I think Russell is a little bit more explosive, but John Wall is a true leader, and he's heading, you know, in the right direction now. I just think even from this year, going to the playoffs and having those, you know, the last two games he had, and the last game he had wasn't up to par. But it's great. It's teaching. It's a lesson. So I guess next year and so on, he'll come back with more fierce and be competitive like he is, but he'll live and learn. He learned something by playing the way he did in the playoffs. And I just think he's one of the top guards, and he does a lot of other things. I read about him and I see certain things. He gives his time. He helps kids. He helps the youth. And he's just an awesome player, but not even that. He's even a better person. And that's what it's all about. And I just wish nothing but success for John Wall. Great guy.
This is where I wish we had a time machine where we could have Kenny Anderson playing John Wall and see how that would go.
In my prime, you know, we'll be going back and forth. But now he'll kill me.
Kenny, I really appreciate it. Hey, I know I've seen the Mr. Chibs had showings in New York and other places in the country. I see some upcoming dates in Texas. Is there a way for the public to be able to watch it either now?
Right now, we're working on some business things. Right now, no, unless it gets in your theaters in the city that you're in, you can watch it. But I tell everybody, and I want you to tell them also, go to my website, MrChibs.com, and we'll keep your breath on what's going on with my documentary.
Awesome. We'll definitely spread the word. Kenny, really greatly appreciate it, man. Best of luck with you and with helping the kids of today, and look forward to hopefully getting a chance to talk in person one day and see Mr. Chibs.
Oh, my man. Thank you.
Thanks, Kenny. Really appreciate it.
Everybody just deal. Gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Sine. Touchdown! Old Prime. Off-balance shot.